Hello, and welcome to Reading the Library Book, the podcast where I read one chapter of the library book at a time. My name is Emily, and I thank you for listening. Today's chapter is chapter 29, which is called A Choice. The chair was sitting on the sofa, drinking the tea and watching me with a twinkle in her eye. "You are a troublesome little minx, aren't you?" she said. "Not nearly as troublesome as you are," I said. "Touché," she said. "So, I have met my match, then, and she is a small child from a local library."
"I guess so," I said.
"Well, then, I must congratulate you on making things very difficult for me. I had everything all organized until you turned up. The others were easily managed, but you... That pesky writer seemed to know what she was doing, bringing you in to disrupt my plans."
"Thank you," I said.
"So, you've done it. You've created a big mess for me, and now we're going to clean up everything, so it's all spick and span."
"We are?"
"Yes. First," she said, "you're sending everyone back to their libraries. We can't have all these people and animals mixing up and making a general mess of everything. Everyone belongs where everyone belongs."
"Is that so?"
"Of course. That's why we have libraries, to keep everything organized and categorized and separate."
"I'm not sure that's really what libraries are for," I said.
"Listen," said the chair, putting her cup down with a clink. "I'll make you a deal. I will get back all of your precious little books and everyone from your library. It'll be as if none of this ever happened. You can have all of your books just as they were."
"And what happens to Akita and all of its books?" I asked.
"And the Omphalos," I thought, but didn't say out loud. I felt the impression of the key on my side. At least that was secure.
"Why would you worry about us here in Akita?" "I want all of the books returned, the ones in the waterways and the ones missing from the tree library and all of them. I want the music librarian to get back the book you put in the ballroom that made her so sad to lose and the people back where they belong."
"None of that is your responsibility. You're young, my little oyster. You think you have to right all the wrongs in the world, but you can't. And you shouldn't. It's not your business."
"I think it is," I said.
"Darling, do you want your books and your sweet little librarians or not?"
"No," I said.
"You don't want to go home to your library?"
"I do," I said. I really do, but I can't let my friends down, and if I save my own library to destroy theirs, I will never enjoy my library again."
"This offer is only good from here, right now," said the chair. "You pass it up, I destroy your entire library, building and all."
"You wouldn't."
"Wouldn't I?" she said, as she reached toward the shelf behind her without looking. Her hand grasped an old-looking book, and she pulled it in front of her and examined it. "What have we here?" she asked. "Oh, a book. By someone. Whatever." She opened it and flipped through it, all the while staring at me. Then, with her eyes fixed on my face, she took hold of a bunch of pages and ripped them out of the binding. I was horrified. I had never seen anyone do such a thing before.
"What are you doing?" I asked.
"Nothing," she said, as she ripped out another handful of pages.
"That could be the only copy of that book in the world," I exclaimed.
"Why on earth would I care?" she said, and ripped out more pages.
"Stop," I said.
"You think I wouldn't destroy your library with the same care I give to these silly pieces of paper?"
"No, no, you would. I see now. I can tell you would. Please stop."
She had her hands on both the front cover and the back, and she looked poised to tear the entire book in half. "If you don't want me to destroy this book or your library, you'll just have to say the word." I hesitated.
And she ripped the book in two. No! I cried. Too late, too slow. Only one way to save your library. You want to save it, you have to go home now, she said, and she reached for another book. I stood there on the ladder, frozen, unclear what to do. I didn't want even more damage done to my library. It had lost so much already. I did not doubt for a moment that she had a way to do it and a willingness to. But I felt the key pressed into my ribs. Thought of Eamon waiting for me out in the field and all of the people I'd met gathering together to save all of their libraries, and I thought, she must really think I can do something to help with this situation, or she wouldn't have come after me. But my library, the children's room, the meeting rooms, the storeroom, the shelves, the office, the doors, all of them were precious to me. And surely the key would be as safe with me there as here. The chair opened a window, and through it I could see my library. There it is, she said. We can go there now, or I can bring it down to the ground. My heart lurched. It made it hard to think. I saw the art on the walls, the puppets that I played with, the trees outside the windows. That was my library. But there was no one in it. There were no books on the shelves. And then I realized that the building wasn't the most important part. It was what was in the building, the collection of books and people all together in one place. I'd seen all kinds of libraries since I arrived, and while I'd seen some beautiful buildings, the remarkable things about them were the people and the books and the people. I came down the ladder slowly, shaking my head, saying, I don't know, I don't know. She smiled. I think she liked watching me squirm. When I got close to the bottom of the ladder, I said, you're right. I should save my library. I'll go home. Let me just grab my backpack. I stepped down, picked up my backpack, and then I took off running back through the passageway as fast as I possibly could. Behind me, I heard the chair say, fine then, followed by the sound of many things falling down. I could hear bricks crumbling, glass breaking, the sound of a library building falling down. But I couldn't cry about it now. Now was the time to get out of here. When I got through the passageway, Eamon was about halfway through the book. He noted my speedy return, and quickly we shelved the book, which closed the passageway behind me. Who was after you? He asked. The chair. She just destroyed my library. Wretched, he said. I could have saved it if I'd gone with her. So let's go save all the books of Akita. I don't want to have sacrificed my library in vain. Eamon nodded. He brought me and the camel in close and opened the travel book. Okay, that was chapter 29, A Choice. I would love to know what you thought about her choice, especially if you are a young person. And do you feel like she made the right choice? Did you feel like there was even a question, or was it pretty obvious to you? That's my question for you, especially my young listeners. And the place to tell me these things is email leandralibrary@gmail.com, Google Voice 646-847-8758. And if you want to record your thoughts, you can always send those to me via either of those options or other ways. If you have ways of reaching me otherwise, do it. I can't wait to hear from you. We have just a few more chapters to go. And can't wait to hear what you think. So still wondering about titles. So if you have thoughts, pass them on. And otherwise, I will just see you next time for chapter 30, which is called The Board Meeting. And that will be next time. Bye!